Go ahead and get started. First of all, welcome. Thank you for coming. And as you know, there is coffee. Decaf at this late hour is over there, as well as regular, and cookies. So help yourself. Take some on your way out the door when you end up going. Whatever works for you. So just a way to say Merry Christmas and enjoy the holidays. All right, so we will call the December 9th regular meeting of the East Bay Charter Township Board to order, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and we'll do roll call attendance.
Lyle?
Here.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Cortez?
Here.
Henschel?
Here.
Walters?
Present.
Friend?
Here.
It's noted that Merrill is absent and excused.
Okay. So we'll move on to a presentation of the agenda. The agenda in front of you has the consent calendar. And we would like to add on to that a $65. Do you want to just add that into the consent calendar, Sue?
Sure.
We have a $65 check that will go to an employee from 9A.
Ambulance.
For reimbursement for cell phone. And we wanted to get that in today, and it was inadvertently put with the contract. And so I want to pay it before a month's time from now. So if we can add that number, what would the next check number be?
Well, it won't necessarily be the next check number because it will be run with the other blanket bills tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right, great.
All the request would be to just allow that to be paid before the next
board
meeting.
Okay, so we'll just put that as number three on other items, the authorization to pay the $65 stipend for the cell phone. Okay. And then under regular business, we have East Bay Ambulance part-time employment. Parks Commission, we have a resolution for a grant application. Discussion of property that's township-owned property on Hammond Road. Planning Commission, the draft zoning ordinance amendment regarding bed and breakfast establishments. The interim position, just discussion, and employment manual, two items regarding that, regarding employment screenings and East Bay Ambulance holiday policy pay, or policy for holiday payment. let's see, I'm trying to think of that is it. We do want to add as well on your desk and mentioned in your board packet would be available today our budget amendments 2019-14, 15, 16, and 17. So we'll put those at number five.
Are you putting them on the regular agenda?
I was, unless anyone, okay.
We usually have them on the consent.
We can do that. We can put them on there if anyone has any questions on them. I just thought I would go give an opportunity. Does anyone have questions on them? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we'll put those budget amendments, adjustments, right on the consent calendar, noting and 2019-14 through 17. Okay. Any changes to the suggested changes to the agenda? Okay. All right. Then we will move on. Any conflicts of interest to declare? Nope. We're good. Okay. Public comment. This is the first opportunity for public comment tonight. Go ahead and step up. Introduce yourself. And we have a few minutes for each person. We're happy to hear from you.
Hello, and Merry Christmas. Rob Henschel, Grand Traverse County Commission, and just got a couple of items, official stuff I wanted just to get out. I know it's not a reports meeting you have, but we're looking for some feedback. One of the issues is the airport governance. You might have read in the paper, we're going to have some input sessions and public-invited presentation of information. We're going to do three meetings, one in the afternoon, one in the evening, and then one in the morning. That will be next Tuesday from 1 to 3, and then again at 6 to 8. That's next Tuesday at the airport. Parking will be validated. Don't worry about the parking. Just bring your slip in, and they'll stamp it for you. And then the morning would be the next day, would be the Wednesday the 11th at 8 a.m., and that's going to be at the regular commission chambers at 400 Boardman Avenue. So just wanted to let the public know, and you know that we're looking for public input. If it's a topic that's of interest to you, you'll see the information we've been studying. We've had a ad hoc committee working this for about 6 months, looking at different governance structures for airports, and the notion right now is to change from a commission structure to an authority structure. And so, you know, that's a very narrowly defined authority. It's not, you know, a blanket authority, do whatever you want. It's a, you know, its own government. It's Act 95. You can look it up on the internet, Michigan's Act 95 for airports. It's very specific to airports. It limits what they can do. They can't raise taxes or impose taxes and, you know, just do whatever, everything that like a township or a city could do. So anyway, that's one topic. And the other topic that's been presented to the Board of Commissioners, the idea of a new senior center downtown Traverse City. The Traverse City Senior Center is a city park, and there's talk of doing a countywide millage to fund a new building at that location, which would be owned by the city. If anyone has any feedback on that towards the commission, it's not on any agendas, but it's been proposed to us. We've seen a presentation on it. So if anyone has feedback, please feel free to contact your county commissioner, which is either me or Gordy LaPointe, depending where you live in East Bay Township. All county commissioners have email addresses and phone numbers and mailing addresses at grandtravers.org. You can find that information. Any of the members of the public, and most of you know me. So, all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Question?
Can you clarify the date of the airport meeting? Is it tomorrow the 10th?
You
said the next Tuesday.
Yes, it is tomorrow the 10th from 1 to 3 and 6 to 8. I'm sorry. It's not next week. It's this week.
I was going to say, I thought he said next week.
Okay. Good catch.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment this evening? Welcome.
Thank you. I hope this is the appropriate forum to do this. My name is Dave. I live in the Indian Trail, Pine Grove neighborhood.
Yep, so your last name, Dave?
Weaver.
Weaver, thank you.
I came tonight to sit in and hear more about the bed and breakfast ordinance discussion, and I thought it might be helpful, or I wondered if it would be helpful to describe, because my experience being an Airbnb host, I ran an Airbnb operation from my house for 3 years, and I suspended it in 2016 when I had a roommate, and the roommate has departed, and I wanted to commence my operation again, but I found that it was a very rewarding and also lucrative enterprise. I had a lot of people come from various parts of the state, country, and the world, people from Germany, Canada, China, a lot of people from Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor area, Chicago, and I found that a lot of them enjoyed staying with a local person where they could get the lowdown on where to go in town, where to eat, where to have a good time, etc. So I was happy to do that, and I had a lot of fun doing it. And I know that rules are different now, at least for people that don't live in the property. Is that correct? So my plan is to be there all the time when people visit. And my experience, as I said, was very positive. I never had any problems, and nothing ever, people always wanted to know, did anything get stolen? But nothing ever went missing from the house, and I always had great interactions with my guests, and I'm looking forward to doing it again. So I know I missed the comment period a couple of years ago when some of the other ordinances were being developed, but I wanted to put in my 2 cents today.
So. Well, your timing is very good because it's on the agenda. And actually, I was going to mention, too, that I was going to open that agenda up for public comment as well as the parks discussion. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other public comment this evening? Okay, we won't drag you up here and make you introduce yourself in the class that you're going into. So, but glad you are here for your civics class. That's great. Tell your teacher thank you. Okay, correspondence is in your packet, and I really don't think we had correspondence, but I do think that we had reports for the various meetings for the township. And we'll go to consent calendar. Ann?
The purpose of the consent calendar is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one board motion without discussion. Any member of the board of trustees, staff, or the public may ask that any item on the consent agenda be removed and placed elsewhere on the agenda for full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. If any item is not not removed from the consent calendar, the action noted in parentheses on the agenda is approved by a single board action adopting the consent calendar. Board minutes, 11/13/2019. From the general fund, check numbers 15003 through 15068 were paid in the amount of $54,206.91. The emergency fund, check numbers 4202 through 4225 for $28,570.39. And check numbers 4100 and 4143 were voided and they were lost or something. I didn't quite get. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they must have been issued again, is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Receiving fund, check numbers 2682 through 2686 in the amount of $80,530.28. Escrow fund, check numbers 1627 through 1631 for $2,099.50. And two payrolls. I think I put September 10th. That's got to
be. Yep, it's 1027. Through 11/9.
Yeah.
Yep, I didn't back off the 9.
Oh, okay.
So it's 10/27 through 11/9.
Okay, that's why I typed it in wrong. Okay, so October 27th through November 9th, check number 6642 through 6649, the amount of $41,274.54, and the payroll dated November 10th through November 23rd, check number 6650 through 6661 for $43,967.46. Total payroll $85,242. And total amount paid $250,649.08. You have budget adjustments 2019-14 through 2019-17. And a couple items under H, resolution 2019-32, alternate dates for March Board of Review. And agreements, two agreements. The first one, agreement for remittance of property taxes, and the second one, TBA, ISD, and East Bay Township agreement for collection of summer property taxes.
Okay, and then we've added the third, the authorization to pay the $65 ambulance stipend. And did you mention the budget adjustments?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, yes. Great. Okay, would anybody from the board like anything removed? Okay, seeing none, would anybody from the public like anything removed from the consent agenda? Okay, we'll bring that back to the board. Are there any questions, discussion, or a motion?
I'd like to move to accept the consent calendar as presented.
Okay.
Support.
Okay, motion is made by Henschel and supported by Walters. Any further discussion? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote, Ann.
Henschel?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes.
Corte?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes. Okay, thank you for allowing us to put in that authorization to pay on that and as well getting you those budget amendments today. Okay, first item on the agenda is the East Bay Ambulance. Nick is unable to be here tonight. He was working a shift elsewhere, but we do have the ambulance part-time offers of employment. And as you can see, we have all the background information and the sent under separate cover, the actual applications and the letters of offer. And so we are seeking, the ambulance is seeking the board concurring with the November 14th offers of part-time employment for Barb Borsma and Jake Strait. Does the board have any questions or discussion with that? I do want to note that the one address on Barb's application. Shows a town that's quite far away, she's moving, staying with friends right in the township, and going to be moving to the nearby area. So, but that's still her mailing address as of right now.
You answered my question.
Okay. We try to anticipate those. We don't always, but any other questions?
No, I think they both appear very qualified.
Yeah. He was very happy to add them to the roster. Yeah, absolutely.
I guess the question I'd have is, how many part-time paramedics and how many part-time EMTs do we have?
I can get you the number on those. We keep a healthy roster, and we work at developing a healthy roster because people change. I mean, someone I know who has been a constant has also had a change in their primary employment where they're spending more time there, so they can spend less than with 9A. And so sometimes that transitions. That's one of the reasons we like to keep a healthy roster going. And it must have helped because we didn't have any issues filling the holidays. So we're very thankful, and we checked in with the people who were working and thanked them for working the holiday. And we'll be talking about holidays and compensation later in the agenda. Yeah. Other questions, or is there a motion to concur and approve with the November 14th offers of part-time employment for Barb Borgesma, I'm having trouble today with that name, and Jake Strait?
I'll second if that's your motion.
I guess it will be.
Okay.
All right. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed by no? Okay. We will move on to the Parks Commission. This is the resolution 2019-33. This is a resolution of support for the Health Department of Northwest Michigan grant application. Jake, who is the new intern in planning and zoning, has been working on this. Jake, if you want to come either up to the table or up to the podium, whichever you're more comfortable at, and kind of go over how this came about and kind of the work process behind it and what we're seeking from the board.
Absolutely. Well, good evening. Thanks for having me. And thanks to the board and Supervisor Friend for creating this position and this opportunity for me to be here. I'm unfortunately probably not going to be able to stick around until the Planning Commission business later, where you're going to be discussing the position. So I'll just kind of briefly go over it. We've been working a lot on the new short-term rentals. Getting everything up to speed and getting that ordinance start to get enforced. In addition to that, we've been working on this Health Department grant, which you might be familiar with. It's through the Health Department of Northwest Michigan, and if you flip the packet to the next page, you'll see the grant application and the call for the proposals. So this is out of Charlevoix, and I believe it was last year we went for this grant, and unfortunately that wasn't awarded to us. So we're going for it again this year. And what it is, it's a $10,000 grant that would allow for us to do some infrastructure improvements as well as implement some programming to get people active in the community. And so what we're going for, and I am somewhat on the behest of the Parks Commission right now, and what we're going for is to do a resurfacing and restriping of the pickleball courts out at Grace McDonald Park, which was one of the top priorities of the 2019 to 2023 Parks and Recreation Plan that was adopted earlier this year by the Parks Commission. So what the grant is going to do, in addition to that restriping and the resurfacing, there's going to be that physical activity component that I mentioned. If you flip to page 4 of the request for proposals that's in the packet, you'll see that Walk Michigan is intended to be a 8-week virtual walking program that would be targeted towards adults and seniors to get them encouraged to do some walking. And we would have some financial and programming support from MParks as well as the Health Department to implement that, which would go somewhat in tandem with the infrastructure improvements to the courts, and that it would perhaps encourage some people to walk towards the courts. We could implement some pickleball programming, and then people can walk back. And we'll have some support from people here at the township. Valerie Hedges at the receptionist here at the township can help us with some of the implementing and getting people signed up for the programming, and so that would be covered. At this point, are there any questions about what is going to be part of this grant?
What kind of support are you going to have for the Walk Michigan? I mean, besides signing up, I mean, what are they going to, what are we going to be able to provide in services there?
So the Walk Michigan is going to be sort of just the programming aspect of the grant. Now, it's outside of the $10,000 that we could be potentially awarded. And so what I was told in correspondence with the person who's awarding the grants is that they'll provide the necessary additional funds, whatever that might be, to implement the programming. And we have a little bit of flexibility as to what exactly it is. But based on the verbiage that came in the grant, it's an 8-week virtual program.
Right, so are we going to be giving pedometers or something else for people to log their steps? Or
I think
is it on an app?
Yeah, we would have the flexibility to choose exactly what that might be, depending on what would be best for us. And this would be sort of developed with MParks and the Health Department. We could say, I think the app might be better for us, for example. And then people could log their steps on that program.
The only concern I have is that if this is senior-focused, pedometers might be something that might be
more effective.
That we might need to have both options, really, is what I'm kind of saying, because not everybody has the same technology or ability to use it.
And I think even it can be even paper logged and then just typed up.
Right, that's why I'm saying if we had pedometers that we could, and log sheets, you know,
right,
for those that needed it.
One of the things, too, is that Jake, you did a great job in explaining this. One of the peculiar things about the timing of this meeting and the timing of when the grant goes in, we're still actually working on the verbiage for the grant and talking with them, too. What we do have the structure of the outline, which is the $10,000 that they award. The Parks Commission already has $15,000 set aside in the 2020 budget for matching and for improvement of the pickleball and tennis courts for the resurfacing there. So that's a good start for us, and it leverages that money to go much further. So, and they did mention, as Jake was saying, that MParks, or the Michigan program, they will help you with that. They have staff with that as well. And we're also taking a look at, you know, whether we can use some associations and their volunteers to help us with it as well.
Yeah, it's the Traverse Area Pickleball Association, TAPA, which has been a partner in support of this grant. They have some organizational capabilities to help perhaps with some of the pickleball programming, maybe leading some of the classes or introducing people who might be interested in pickleball but have never had a chance to play, which would probably be a more long-term solution or option for people rather than just 8 weeks and then they're done. They would have a new activity to kind of take with them for the rest of the summer and throughout the remaining years.
Yeah.
The one thing you mentioned about how they're going to keep track of it, there's a good program that you can download on your cell phone that's pretty accurate, and there's no charge for it.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about those that aren't
tech savvy.
That's the ones that I'm concerned about. You know, there's lots of apps for those that have that equipment, but for those that don't, I don't want to learn new things.
Jay, go ahead, Sue.
Sure. I guess
My first thought is the township sits in a very precarious situation where we can't buy the pedometers, but we could certainly get an entity to partner, Power Plan, whatever. They do a lot of those as giveaways at any like MTA events that we've gone to. That's been a giveaway that other vendors do, so we should look into that so it's not an expense from the township side of it.
And we can always do a contract for services for programming too. So say, for example, a walking association or a hiking association,
right.
You know, we could do a contract for services with them. They can provide those,
right.
Too.
There's a lot of options. I think it's a good thing. I just want us to be careful not to be spending township money on that way.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things, Jake has been just tenacious about trying to nail down these costs, which, to his credit, has not been very easy right now. The contractors that we know that do this in our area have been busy, and we have not had the greatest access to them in this change of seasons. So we are trying very hard to get those actual costs. We do have an engineer. We did get some costs related. Back in the beginning of the summer, we had him generally price out an expansion of the tennis courts. You know where the horseshoes are? We were thinking of adding on like one tennis court there and then shifting the one tennis court that's multi to just pickleball. So we would double the number of pickleball and then still have the two tennis that are multi. Anyway, more for it helps with, what do you call it, when you have everyone in
tournaments.
The tournaments. Thank you very much. But when I had Brian get those costs this summer and took them to the Park Commission, it was like $120,000, $30,000. It was quite pricey. And while I think the Park Commission would have loved to have done that, they wanted to turn their focus. They wanted to definitely make sure that those courts are usable and safe, but they wanted to turn more attention to Arbutus Park at that point and look at some of the options there. So in going with kind of that thought, we were just looking at, okay, what's it going to be to resurface these? Well, part of the resurfacing is also kind of crowning them a little bit because we have some pooling places right now, and we want to get away from that. But it's not a whole tear-up job. So we think the price, you know, we think the $25,000 will be a very significant dent in this cost, and if we get costs that are above that, then we think that it will be marginal and we would come back to the board with those. But we felt strongly that we wanted to go after the $10,000 to extend that buying power for the $15,000 that's set aside.
Right, and we have some actual closer estimates that we got from Brian today.
Right.
So we do have that $10,000, which would go towards the total that Brian was thinking about $38,000.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Parks Commission has about $15,000 set aside for these improvements, so that would be a substantial amount of these costs.
Yep.
But that $140,000 or whatever we saw earlier today, that would be if we went really radical on the courts.
Yeah, did the whole extension and, go ahead.
Question. Is it possible to stripe the tennis courts, double stripe it, you can use it either pickleball or tennis?
Oh, they are now. But actually, and what we can do, and this is part of the grant where we improve accessibility, is right now each tennis court is also painted as pickleball court. Well, there's a different way you can paint them that's actually better. You don't have to take up the nets. So you can do two pickleballs on one tennis court. So we'll actually be changing the way we paint them. We didn't last time when we had the cracks sealed because we weren't doing a full overlay, and so to repaint it would have been ridiculously expensive for what we were doing. But in the sense that we're resurfacing and getting the right grading on that, it would make sense then to do that. So we'll end up with two more pickleball courts as it is. So
So it sounds like likely in light of those new costs, we may be back for some, you know, percentage of that. I will tell you, though, on the plus side, we looked a lot with the budget amendments, looked a lot at the funds and where we anticipate ending, and we'll end with positive net revenues. I'm not going to say what that is because then I'll have to eat my words later, but it's significantly more than what Jake is talking about. Any other questions? So, Jake, what is it you need now? Because I know that the deadline is a week from today.
The deadline is this Friday.
Oh, this Friday. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you're looking from the board.
Right. So from the board, I was hoping to get a resolution of support, which I would attach to my grant application, which you would be alongside with the TAPA, Traverse Area Pickleball Association, and Sue Leisure and the Grace McDonald Park Pickleball Committee. You'd be my third, organization of support. And what I was hoping you would do is say we support this project. We would like to see this done, and we are reaffirming the budget that is from the Parks Commission that they have set aside $15,000 for these pickleball court improvements.
So I would make a motion to approve the resolution of support 2019-33 for the Building Health Places grant application. Building Health.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there support for that motion?
Support.
Okay, motion made by Bartlett and support by Lyle. Any further additional questions? Yes.
On the resolution, I don't see any language associated with the Walk Michigan. Am I missing it?
Within this resolution of support, the programming aspect of it is not included, mostly because most of the budget that would be part of it is going to infrastructure improvements, while the Health Department and MParks are going to provide if necessary funding for the programming, whereas that's not going to be part of our budget.
I still think that should be part of our resolution of support.
We can do that. We can change it right now. We can add after the second whereas, where the Grace McDonald Park provides residents of all ages a physical environment to be physically active and practice healthy behaviors. Actually, I think after the next one, if you give us the latitude to insert a whereas where the township, okay. We'll put some verbiage in there about the Michigan the Walk Michigan program. So if you let us wordsmith that, and basically what that will say is that, you know, we're
in support.
Right, exactly. I'm wondering if we're going to run into any issues with the 15 and the 10 being 25, and then the cost estimate from Brian.
Right, I was thinking about that because when we, up until last week, we thought 25 was going to be sufficient funds until he hit us with this figure today. It seemed a little bit higher.
What was the figure again?
38,000.
38,000. Okay, I'm just wondering if we want to do. Is the board at all comfortable? And I didn't anticipate asking this necessarily. Is the board at all comfortable saying that if there's a need for designating an additional $13,000, then we will seek those funds within our fund balance or net positive revenues from the current fiscal year? We could add that as a third whereas.
Wouldn't we want the Park Commission involved in part of that discussion?
Well, we could, except for this is due before they meet again.
We need to put that in there for this. I mean, if it runs over, we could always have them come back and the board would make a decision.
Right. I'm just worried that they'll look at it and see.
Say there's not enough funds to do the project.
So you could make the statement that the township is open to partner with additional funds up to.
Right. You know, 13,000. Mm-hmm. You can round it to 15 if you want, 13, whatever. But I would probably.
But this is still an engineer's estimate. This is not a contractor's.
That's true.
Bid.
Mm-hmm. So, from your engineering hat, what do you think is the best way to move forward?
I mean, you don't have to turn in a bid with us. You're just going after to see if you can get the grant, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So they're not requiring us to have a completed
budget?
No.
Okay.
It's mostly a template and estimate. I would have liked to have had a, you know, completely hammered out and fine-tuned.
You're not going to get that now for something that you're not going to get approved on because the cost of oil could go radically different.
Yeah.
So that's, I appreciate that, but that's not going to happen.
So we can just, if we don't have to include the engineer's estimate in there, then
we don't
need to worry
about
it.
Number three.
We just plain and simple don't need to worry about it.
Right.
Okay. So I think there was a motion by Bartlett and support by Lyle. Would you?
I would amend it to add partnering with WAF Michigan.
Okay. Okay. And that's fine with you as well. Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. And we'll do a roll call vote.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
Forte?
Yes.
Henschel?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes.
Brent?
Yes. Okay, thank you very much for your work on this.
Thank you.
Good luck with the grant. Okay, next on the agenda is 3411 East Hammond Road. We do not have anybody from the Parks Commission here tonight. Scheduling conflicts, and so we can either table this if the board likes, or we can have discussion regarding this.
I think I would prefer having a park commissioner here, so sure. I would recommend that we table this until such time that they can come before the board.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Yeah, we'll just table it. Yep, no problem. Let's see. We shall move on to the draft zoning ordinance amendment related to the bed and breakfast establishments. That is on page 43 of your packet. Mindy, do you want to take this one away?
Sure. Okay, so everybody knows that we spent quite a while working on the short-term rental ordinance. And as you also know, that when we got to the end, some people believe that we included the owner-occupied established, and some people believe that we didn't. Our attorney came and made the distinction that we did not include the owner-occupied structures in that, and that to deal with that, we needed to work on our bed and breakfast ordinance. Now, bed and breakfast is a defined term in the state. It is also has its own list of things that you have to do if you're a bed and breakfast in the state. So we took the bed and breakfast language that was in the zoning ordinance. We looked at what was required by the state. We looked at what we had put into the short-term rental ordinance and kind of, I'll say, massaged it for the lack of a better word, to try to make this kind of meet all those things. So there's lots of things that are in our short-term rental ordinance that are not in the bed and breakfast because they're already included in the requirements of the state. So what we have for you tonight is the results of our discussions over several meetings talking about the short-term rentals. And as you can see, we did add lots of language associated with the short-term rentals and then compared it back with the state requirements. And then you can see all that stuff was strike through. And that was the discussions that we had that went back and forth. Any questions?
I've got two.
Okay.
And it's just for my lack of knowledge of experience. When looking on page 3 of the draft zoning ordinance language, number 7, what if a bed and breakfast has the property? I guess I'm thinking of the Cherry Knoll Bed and Breakfast. They have a lot of property. They can't allow snowmobiling or other all-terrain vehicles. Is that what I'm understanding?
I believe it says that you could get a special land use approval if you have more than 4 to do those types of activities, but it's not, we don't want to give everybody that option right off the bat.
It's not a broad stroke.
Yep.
Okay. And then the other one, under 8, the keeping of domestic pets of traveling tourists is prohibited. I mean, that isn't a change. That must have been there already, and I didn't notice it before. So if someone has a therapy dog or a companion,
I believe that doesn't fit as a domestic pet.
Okay. Or if someone just travels with their dog or their cat or their bird or...
I'm not an attorney here, so I believe that if it's considered a service animal, that it's not a domestic pet. If it's not a licensed, insured, whatever that term is, because that's not my area, it is not allowed.
Just my dog, if I'm traveling, can't, based on this or based on the state. Do you know that?
I do not.
Okay. Sorry. I was reading it today, and it's like, oh.
It would be based on this, though, regardless of the state.
Yeah, but I don't know if this came from the state.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't have duplicated it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, those are my questions.
Okay. Any other questions regarding this?
Back to 8. Interpret that differently than maybe Sue does. I interpret that as taking care of the traveling tourists, like taking care of the animals while their tourists are traveling.
Oh, so they
like
can't...
you can't board animals that are pets. You can't be a dog boarding...
They're not a boarding kennel.
Yeah. They're good.
That's an interesting interpretation of that, but
I
see where you say
it.
Because of pets of traveling
tourists.
If they weren't traveling, yes.
Well, if they're traveling, then that's boarding, and that falls into a different part of the zoning ordinance that's not allowed unless they, in certain areas.
Right, she was asking about them bringing their animals with to
stay.
I'm interpreting that as, hey, Mindy, I'm at your bed and breakfast. Will you watch my dog so I can go to Leelanau County for 2 days?
Right, and I'm just saying, I'm guessing that it's not that it's not the boarding while the tourists are traveling. And the reason is because then that would be considered kenneling,
yes.
And then that's covered under a different part. So they wouldn't have put it here if it were covered under another part of the zoning ordinance. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, and I understand what she's saying, and I do not know the answer.
We ask the questions that you don't have the answers for. Sorry about that.
Because we didn't talk about that one at all.
You must not have any pet owners.
I tend to agree with the way you interpreted it.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
I tend to agree with the way Andrea interpreted it.
It could be a liability issue if they were taking care of somebody
right.
other others.
That makes sense. But I was just thinking there are some folks that their pets are their children.
Well, most people
travel with them all the time, and so to tell that entity that they can't do it. But
so I guess what do you want to do here? Because do we want to seek clarification before we move on, or do we want to? What do we want to do? I mean, that is a public hearing that she hasn't opened it up to yet, but.
I thought you did the public hearing at the Planning Commission.
Yeah, the public hearing was that.
We did, but I thought you said that you were going to open it up in the agenda.
She was going to open it up for public comment.
Oh.
But not public hearing. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We can do that right now while everyone kind of decides what they're thinking and what they would like to do. Is there any public comment right now on the zoning text amendment, ordinance amendment language for the bed and breakfast requirements? I know we had you speak earlier, sir. If you have any additional comments, you're welcome to offer them, or the others earlier obviously stand. So.
Well, I have a question.
Sure. Come step up. Sure.
So if I'm going to, so I own my house and I live in it. When guests come and visit, even if they just stay in the bedroom and there's no, it sounds like there's some information I need to pick up. Is that in the lobby? Did I walk?
There are public packets out in the lobby if they're still available. Okay. It's also on the website.
Okay. So you, my operation could, would that now be considered a bed and breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, well, I better get one of those before I think there's a lot more in there that's going to be new to me based on how things operated previously. So I'll go get one.
That sounds good. We can answer any of your questions.
It's going to be page 46.
So obviously, the type of rentals that you were doing previously were basically not allowed by zoning ordinance in our township. And what the board has done is changed the zoning ordinance and general law ordinance to allow and accommodate for short-term rentals. And as part of that, this bed and breakfast issue has come out of that work. And that's what we're seeking to clarify here, is those types of things that you have been doing that weren't identified or isolated in the zoning ordinance. I mean, they had bed and breakfast before, but your building had to be like 46 years old or something like that, over 40 years old or something. So it's changing.
So there are state rules that apply to operating a bed and breakfast, mm-hmm. and that's largely what the township will adopt. Was thinking of that.
I'm sorry, I was listening to Anne saying that she asked the attorney if he'll answer. So I missed your question. I apologize.
So there's state rules.
Yes.
That govern the operation of a bed and breakfast.
Correct.
And those rules then will largely be applied to the township, or the township's going to adopt most of them. Is that accurate?
Well, so what the zoning ordinance says is that if you are operating a bed and breakfast, you have to follow the state rules. And then there's some additional things that we are requiring, such as signage and parking and the minimum space that the bedrooms have to be and that kind of thing. So there are state rules, and then we are going a little bit further to match our zoning ordinance in other locations. So you have actually two sets of rules that... Our requirements for a bed and breakfast now.
Okay.
If this passed.
Any idea when it would, I'm thinking ahead to the future, any idea when the township bed and breakfast rules would be solidified?
So it's not sounding like necessarily this evening, but likely if we send that back or seek clarification, it'll be probably, my guess would be within 3 months, more likely one or two, and that there would be some clarification. Anne, did you have something to add? What's that?
We got three dots. We're getting an answer.
Oh. Anne's husband is legal counsel by coincidence for the township. And so Peter Wendling
is giving us our opinion on number 8 of the domestic pets.
Anything else? Maybe we might have an opinion.
I think a text is wonderful, but I guess if we're going to request an answer, I would prefer it be in written form.
What did you ask him? By out of curiosity.
Probably just said, "Hey, Pete, look at this."
They don't want people to do pet vacation rentals. Ask your own friend, just like we did.
I think it needs to be done in writing, not off the cuff.
That's fine.
They don't want people to do pet vacation rentals. What does that mean?
Is that boarding of animals?
Yeah, there's no rush on doing this.
Right. So we can just.
We are very luckily in the off season. For most people, well, if there is an off season, it's kind of a year round thing now. But by and large, for most people are coming to Traverse City in the summer. So we will, if the board is all fine with that, we will send back to, would you like to go back to the Planning Commission or just have the legal counsel? Was it Brian or Peter who was helping you guys draft that?
I think it was Brian.
We didn't see him, so I'm not sure.
On that? Okay. All right. Well, does the board prefer to go back to the Planning Commission or just have our legal counsel?
Why don't we send it back to the Office of Planning and Zoning for clarification with the attorney?
Fine.
I got a question.
Yeah. I was going to say, are there other questions, though, before we...
end? On page 6, Bread and Breakfast, the definition, they talk about 10 or fewer guest rooms.
That's a state definition of bed and breakfast.
Definition B. Then it says bread and breakfast, but it talks about 10 guest rooms, 10 or fewer. Is that what we're allowing is...
That's what the state definition of a bed and breakfast is.
Okay, but can we adjust that number? I mean, I guess to me, having a house in a neighborhood and have 10 people stay in there, it's like a motel.
Well, there's still room restrictions on how many guests per bedroom that you have. But
and the biggest thing, I think, the way that would get the 10-bedroom house is the parking.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you had, I'm trying to find where I read it in here earlier today, but it broke out how many bedrooms were, like, I want to say...
On page 3 of that document.
Because there's a special, there's a use by right and there's a special land use.
Here it is. Right.
The use by
number
right was...
Whereabouts are you? What page?
Number 7. Well, it's down.
Page up the right, top left-hand
right
corner.
They're looking
at staff. If you look at page 3, number 6, it says the rental sleeping room shall have a minimum size of 100 square feet for each 2 occupants, with an additional 30 square feet for each occupant, to a maximum of 4 occupants per room.
But I thought that there was a statement in here that you could have so many before it had to go to a special land
use.
That's
what I thought, too. I thought it was, like, 3 and under.
It says, page 4 in section 400 to
423. Yeah, right here. Yeah.
It says, add bed and breakfast.
3 or less guest rooms.
Subsection 234.
Subject to.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm not reading very good.
Oh, yeah. There
and
it is.
4 to 10 for...
Special land use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the township would be made aware of that, and they'd have to go through the special land use to do that.
Mm-hmm. And they also have screening as part of this, the parking, landscape and buffering, and the intensity. They cover the intensity as well. Okay, any other questions? So we'll just have a clarification then. On the traveling dogs and cats and birds and domestic pets. So, all right.
Okay. Who tells them that?
Hmm?
Who goes back to them? Because we need to also make sure that the discussion of service animals is included in that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they should be allowed by right already.
Yep, I just want to make sure that they...
Make it in that ordinance.
Okay.
They write that down.
We'll bring that back to the board probably likely in January. And
we've only got, a couple more weeks with the end of the year. I would give us some leeway if it's not January, so first quarter.
January is a suggestion. If we have everything in line, we'll put it on the agenda. If we don't, we won't. We are on to the intern position, and I think I mentioned this. Let me find it. Basically, on the cover, I just wanted to remind you of the motion that was on October 14th of 2019, and that was that we
had a conditional letter of employment to Jake for 20 hours a week as the planning intern with a budget of $3,000. The board approved that. Of course, obviously, at that point, we did not have the 2020 budget. And then we do now. And in that line item, the 101410-710 has been approved with $14,000 in there. Half of the funds are through short-term rentals, and half of the funds are through the general fund. So I don't think that we need to do anything necessarily with this. I just wanted to make sure that I was on the same board, or same page as the board, in continuing Jake Myers in that position in 2020. Like I said, I just didn't want to have any issues coming further down the line.
It's on page 43 of 52. It's the memo page.
The cover sheet.
Sorry, we went out of order.
That's okay. 43.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. So, as I said, I just wanted to make sure that the administration was in concurrence with the board and that we were seeking to retain Jake through the 2020 in that line item. Obviously, we know that he's an intern and looking at going to graduate school. So we are flexible with that, and as well as he is flexible with us as well. So were there any other thoughts on that? Or
I would feel very comfortable with us continuing this agreement until mutually decided to terminate. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm sure that when Jake gets an opportunity for grad school, we're not going to hold him back.
No.
But we do appreciate the work that he's doing, and I think once we get a full staff in the department, that's going to be great. They'll be able to get that much more done.
Yep, I agree too. Really looking forward to having the planner in there as well as Leslie and Jake. I think that they'll be able to accomplish a lot. So, okay, any other comments on that from other board members? Okay, we'll proceed to move forward in 2020 with that and keep on working in the department and moving forward. So, excellent. And we will move on to the employment manual. That is item number 4. That falls on page 50. And there are two items. The first is information from our council regarding the public related to public employers and employment screenings. And the recommendation, he recommends that the ambulance employees would clearly be safety sensitive positions with the legal ability of the township to pre-screen with drug testing. Administrative positions are not safety sensitive, and that pre-screening should be discontinued to limit our legal liability. And then one area where the township needs to decide is if we consider buildings and grounds personnel as safety sensitive positions. It notes that while the courts have said that merely driving on the road is not considered safety sensitive, but when you get into larger vehicles, you know, large trucks,
pulling trailers.
Yeah, exactly. Those types of things that can be safety sensitive. So one of the things he council mentioned to me was, I said, well, you know, what's the right way to decide that? And he said, it's not so much which way you decide on those ones that are kind of on the fence. It's more so that you've had the discussion and that you've said how you're going to approach it. It's documented in the minutes. And if there's ever an issue, it shows that you had some level of discussion and awareness in making your decision. And he said, then if you're tried to be held responsible, you can, by default, though, you can say, look, they made this decision for these reasons, and that is reasonable and expected. And so then it's much better
any potential case. So the way I've structured the motion was to abide by council's recommendation and maintain the drug screening for ambulance personnel, discontinue the drug screening for administrative personnel, and I've left it blank so we can put continue or discontinue drug screening for buildings and grounds personnel based upon either finding it safety sensitive or not finding it safety sensitive. So that's the information that I was bringing to you, and specifically the discussion I wanted to have with the safety-sensitive position of buildings and grounds. Yes, ma'am.
Are these the guys that are going into the parks and cleaning up the wood on the back of the trails,
yeah,
and cutting the logs with chainsaws and things,
yep,
like that?
Okay. You get it.
Yeah.
Yep. So any thoughts and discussion?
It's my opinion that, you know, the work that the building and grounds crew do, plus traveling with trailers and, you know, difficulty seeing and that kind of thing, that we need to continue drug screening, mm-hmm, for the people. And
consider it a safety-sensitive.
Safety-sensitive.
Okay.
Okay.
The rest of the board concur with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Susan, I'm nodding her head.
No, I do agree with it. I think any time any of our people under our charge drive township vehicles, whether they be mowers, use chainsaws, any of those things, it warrants continuing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. They don't just drive an F-250. They drive also the one-ton, which has the, you know, the dump truck,
tractors,
the
trailers,
snow plowing,
pesticides, or different fuels to put in their different small engines.
They also haul a tractor and stuff, mm-hmm, which you start getting into some heavy equipment.
So I would then, on the possible motion, I would say, and continue and maintain, because we currently do that, drug screening for buildings and grounds personnel based upon the safety-sensitive nature of their duties. And then we would just strike that, that what's in the parentheses, because that was just kind of showing you the direction that I was trying to make there. And then the rest of that would stand.
So the second blank you filled in, how?
The safety-sensitive nature of their duties based upon, so it would say from the first blank, it says, and maintain drug screening for buildings and grounds personnel based upon the safety-sensitive nature of their duties.
Okay.
And if the minutes would just show that we considered the equipment that they use, the vehicles that they drive, and the types of work that they do on a daily basis, that would be great, Anne.
So, do you need a second to that, or?
If that's fine, I'm happy to make that motion. It's quite long to repeat, but you all have it in front of you. I'm happy to do that. Move to abide by council's recommendation and maintain drug screening for ambulance personnel, discontinue drug screening for administrative personnel, and maintain drug screening for buildings and grounds personnel based upon the safety-sensitive nature of their duties, and to direct township administration to edit and return to the Board of Trustees the employment manual with the amendments for approval consistent with this direction.
Support.
Okay, the motion is made by Friend and supported by Walters. Is there further discussion? Okay, all in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. By those not in favor, by no. Okay, motion passes. Thank you very much for your consideration. That was, trust me, there's more that went into that than you think, because trying to discern exactly legally what you can and cannot do, it's interesting. Okay. The next thing is the East Bay Ambulance employment payroll compensation for holidays. So right now, the employment manual that we have exists also covers the ambulance, which we've known. And I can't remember if it was Sue or Tracy was saying today that we've intended to separate that for some time. And Nick is taking a look at doing that and has started a draft working. But we don't have it complete and ready for getting passed, and we haven't, you know, passed it through the attorney yet, all that kind of good stuff. But we would like to fix one of the things that we feel is a big thing that's impacting our budget, and that is, you know, of the 13 holidays that we have right now, because they fall in just similar to administrative, all five of those that are full-time are paid for all of those. Now, that's very atypical of emergency services. Mm-hmm. Emergency services typically does not pay when you're not there on holidays. They tend to pay, like, time and a half, double time, those types of things. what we have come up with, and you'll see it's just on page 52, the last page in your packet, is basically in the interim, before they have their own employment manual, is noting, it says below, that that full-time employees, part-time, are paid according to the provisions below. But under A, we have that an emergency services employees in emergency service positions, both full and part-time, are not granted paid time off on the listed holidays. Rather, compensation for hours worked by employees in emergency service positions on the holidays will be, and then we've broken them out into time and a half and to double time. The five employees that have come over from other places, Nick, all of the ones that you've seen hired over the past year, they're aware of this. They're familiar with it. They understand that how the compensation is typical in the rest of the EMS industry. I reiterated that with Nick today, and he said they recently had a meeting. He said beforehand he'd talked to them everybody, and again they talked on Saturday, and everybody knew that this was going to be coming down the pike. They just didn't know when it would hit. So we'd like to offer this amendment in the interim and put that in effective for January 1st of 2020. What questions do any members of the board have on this? Yeah, go ahead.
Under 10.1 holidays, I think that needs to be changed. If you're going to add this number five.
Okay. You mean the verbiage up at right here?
All full-time employees shall be granted time off with pay.
Subject to the provisions below, though. And see, the holiday provisions are A. And this is number five of A. So this exempts the employees in the emergency service positions. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Read it like a zoning ordinance, almost.
You get this, unless you fall under
this. Exactly. No kidding. We did leave in, actually, all of those holidays. Sometimes they don't even cover that much of a scope of holidays, but we did leave in all of them to maintain some consistency between...
So then this New Year's Eve would not be, they would receive regular holiday pay?
They would receive it as a holiday now.
Yeah,
January 1 would change.
We would have to split 12/31, which is fine. We can do that. Or we can choose to make it effective, like January 2nd or something, if the board chooses to do that. I mean, it doesn't matter. We can still split it.
It's going to be a nightmare anyway, either way you do it for payroll.
Bi-weekly?
Bi-weekly.
Well, When is that?
Well, actually, you know, you're right, because we do 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. are our shifts, our 12-hour shifts. And so you will. It's so much easier to do it in the 12 hours. You can break it down.
So it could be midnight.
Why don't we just start at the second?
Why don't we just start on the second, which is a non-holiday? Yeah, let's do that.
Question, what is non-emergency personnel, what do they get paid for if they end up working? Do they get the time and a half or the double time?
For regular administrative employees here?
Well, employees. Okay, let's say Bob S. come in and plow. It's on a holiday. Does he get time and a half or double time?
If he works on a holiday?
Yeah.
I believe he gets time and a half, doesn't he, Sue?
I'm sorry. We were talking about when the next pay period would be for them.
Bob Burns, if he comes in on a holiday and has to plow.
Or whoever, it doesn't matter.
They come in on a holiday?
Yep, if they have to plow for whatever reason. I know that before we've had the food people, it was one of our holidays.
They can take another day off with the holidays, like it's been before.
Yeah, it's been comp time, not...
Okay, but should he have the opportunity to get time and a half or double time? If you're doing it one group...
Do that, sure.
I'm just asking.
No, I understand.
I don't know. I think the way we've done it in the past is if it is a holiday and the food commodities or something is here, then it is plowed by the weekend person.
Yeah, I can remember one time, though, when they couldn't get a weekend person.
It hasn't happened very often.
No, and it may never happen.
I think, you know, if Bob has said, I would prefer to work on the holiday versus another day or something like that.
Then you've allowed him to slide.
I guess
I'm just asking, if you do it for one group, should it be offered to the another group?
It is different, though. See, with one of the things that you're trying to do with the emergency services is you're trying to induce those to work those shifts. And they're hard to fill. You go to any emergency services, CPOs, fire, ambulance, doesn't matter. So you're trying to induce those. It's a little bit different with buildings and grounds. I mean, yeah, could there be an emergency where he's called in? Yes. It's highly unlikely. And you're talking about a highly unlikely scenario for one employee.
I'm just asking the question because sooner or later that I'm sure it's going to come up. Well, this guy gets it. So I'm just asking the question before we decide what's going on.
Yeah, I think you can discern there's a pretty big distinction between the emergency service personnel and administrative or buildings and grounds, any of the departments. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions or action, Mindy?
What are the other holidays that other emergency services around here are giving? Is it all these 13 or?
No, they don't give as many as we do. Yeah,
this is the county list, and we have gone with what the county does is what our dates are, and then we added the election days as furlough days. They're not paid days, but where the office is closed.
And the election days are not in here because
they're not paid.
Yeah, but we haven't removed any of the holidays. We have kept the same ones that the township uses. But this will help, obviously, very much the budget as well. And this was not something that the employees typically received elsewhere. And then when they came to work for us, they didn't. You know what I'm saying?
It was the former staff... Previous to the new hires, they just knew that was their rotation, and they worked and they took a different day off. But then that always seemed to make the same people working the holidays. Yeah. And I think that this is a good thing. I just saw it Friday like the rest of you, but I think it's a good thing to encourage participation in taking holidays, and this would be a way to do it instead of the same 3-4 people.
And I did hear that that I don't want to call it a complaint, but that comment, I guess, that previously it ended up being always the same personnel who would take those holidays. So,
and this gives them a chance to do time.
It probably will be no.
Well, the other thing is this includes part-time, which is different. So that will induce some people who are part-time
to take some of those.
Oh, absolutely.
To let our full-timers actually have a...
Well, and that's the thing. When we looked at it, not doing it with part-time, it didn't make any sense because you're shifting all of this around five people, and it didn't make any sense. So.
No, I agree. I think it's a good move.
Okay.
Do you want a motion?
Sure. That would be terrific.
I would make a motion to accept the...
And I didn't change anything on 10.0 except for number 5. So there are no changes on that page 51.
I would make a motion to accept the changes to the employee manual in regards to holiday pay for emergency services positions.
Okay. As identified in number 5.
As identified in number 5.
And effective January 2nd.
Effective January 2nd.
That is your motion, right?
That is my motion.
Is there a second? Okay. Motion is made by Bartlett and supported by Henschel. Any further discussion? If everybody, all in favor, sorry, it's getting late. I was up at 3 a.m. this morning, so all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed by no? Okay, then that will be changed. All right, we are down to the second public comment. Do we have any public comment this evening? We are welcome to stand at the podium, introduce yourself, and share with us your thoughts. Okay. Well, listen, if there's no objections, we stand adjourned. Please enjoy a cookie on your way out.